Here comes the sun. And what does it say? The sun says, Hashemesh Omer, Shemesh Yoreach Omad Zvulo. The sun and the moon stood still at their dwelling places. L'or chitzech yalechu. They would go, they would travel by the light of your arrows or the fire of your arrows. L'noiga barak chanisecha. By the flash of lightning of your spear. It's a posik from Habakkuk. Very, very difficult posik to try and understand exactly what's going on. As soon as you hear about the sun and the moon standing still, yes, we are for sure going to talk about the idea of Yahushua making him stand still and at another point in time, but not in today's session, because I want to focus in on something else. You see, we've been talking about Shivasa Batamas because we're in the 3 weeks. And we spoke about the fact that there was a potential, an unreal potential, or rather real potential, but an amazing potential of the culmination of the receiving of the Torah when Moshe was going to actually give the marriage contract between Hashem and his people as represented by the Luchos, and the Luchos are shattered, at least from our perspective, as we spoke about, because there was an element of Avodah Zarah, the golden calf, this idol worship. Instead of turning towards Hashem, they turned their back on Hashem and worshipped a golden calf, and that shattered history, never to be repaired until Mashiach comes. And that is why Shivasa Batamas is this day, which is meant to be a day of happiness, is intense sadness because of what could have been. The greater it could have been, the worse in its absence. The longest days of the year, the day, the light, the clarity, the greater the sadness, the more you suffer in the fast, etc., at least in the northern hemisphere, as Israel is. So what is this about God firing arrows? So we know there's a Gemara and a Medrash that tells us that the sun doesn't want to rise in the morning. Do you know why the sun doesn't want to rise in the morning? Why is it that Hashem has to use his spear violently, trying to get it to rise? Is because the sun knows that people are going to bow down to it. So he makes it rise and he makes it set as well. The Medrash tells us the origin of idol worship in the first place is absolutely fascinating. You have a man called Enosh. Enosh was the grandson of Adam HaRishon. So we're so close to the beginning of civilization. And Enosh made a massive mistake, says the Rambam. Enosh says that God is transcendent, which is true. But he's so awesome, which is true. But he's too remote, which is not true. But Enosh extrapolated from that if you're trying to beseech, to petition the ruler, the king, the queen in English terms, the emperor, whoever it is, you can't just knock on the door. It's brazen. You can't make it there. You can't find your way in. So who do you go to? You go to a minister that you're familiar with, says Enosh. Let's look around. Who are the ministers of God, so to speak? They are the forces of nature. Yeah, all the forces of nature. Principally, though, the chief amongst them is the sun, the unchanging sun, which it ripens the crops, it brings us warmth, it warms us up, it brings us light. So surely that is the one to bow down to and to worship. So in theory, you'd think he was right, but he was wrong. Because God may be transcendent, but he's also immanent. He's imoy anochi, but sorrow, even in the darkness, as we've said, unlike the sun. God is always with us. And Enosh made that tragic mistake which caused Avodah Zarah, of which the principal deity in probably almost all cultures, let's face it, is going to be the sun. But God, Hashem, forces the sun, which doesn't want to rise. It's, look, people are going to bow down to me. And I don't want to do this. I don't want to be bowed down to. I feel impure. I feel tomei. Hashem says, no, you still got to do, you could still got to show consistency. Notice it dips behind the horizon. So some of the Mephoshim explain as if going into a mikveh to purify itself from the contamination of people who have actually worshipped it during the day. That is the consistency of the sun that Hashem says is more important than the fact that, yes, there are people who are going to get it wrong. And therefore, the sun remains consistent. And the word Shemesh, which is the word Shamash, Leshamesh, which means a servant, a faithful servant. But why is the sun so reluctant? As we've explained, because it doesn't want to be worshipped. Any iota of deviation as far as the sun is concerned, because it's unchanging, is wrong. It wants to remain consistent. It wants to remain loyal. Any kind of movement away from that, as far as the sun is concerned, it's all over. Tekufas Tammuz, the period of time of Tammuz, Chazal say, is the it's the longest, it's the hottest. In fact, Tammuz itself is very much connected to the word in Aramaic, lemeze, which appears in Doniel, which means to heat up. We've spoken about the fact that, of course, it's the longest and hottest time of the year, and we will speak a bit more about it. And then we find something else as well. How can it be, as I've said before, that the Tammuz is the name of an Avodah Zorah, the name of an idol? And you want to know how bad this idol was? This idol was like Molech. We spoke about Molech. Molech was that one which was where they would sacrifice their children just outside the old city of Yerushalayim. And it was also called Tophet, because the priests would beat a drum to drown out the wailing of the children they would sacrifice, so that the parents wouldn't feel any kind of remorse. And it would also increase the bloodlust inside of them. That was Molech. And Tammuz was a very similar idol, very much associated. It's an Assyrian Babylonian god, often described by many like Bel, as a god of the sun. Now this is unreal, because consider we're in Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, in the period of Tammuz where we cry for the lack of Beis HaMikdash. In Yecheskel, Peret Ches, it says that Hashem said to Yecheskel, I'm going to show you something. And he took Yecheskel to the entrance of the temple, the north gate of the temple, and there the women were sitting, bewailing, crying for the Tammuz. So that either means that they were beseeching it, or they were crying for their children, or those of you who know your mythology, like the Adonis, the modern day, but the contemporary Adonis later on in mythology, Adonis, a weeping Adonis. It was made of lead, and they would heat it from the inside. And the property of lead is that it makes it look as though the idol itself is weeping. And they would sit there in the temple itself, crying for the Tammuz. And Hashem says, have you seen anything crazier than this? This is Tammuz, that they would cry, beseech at the temple. And you look a bit further, it gets worse. Hashem said, you'll see something even more terrible than this. He brought me into the inner court of the house of the Lord, and there at the entrance were 25 men. Now watch this, remember what we said about the Egel Azov. And turning your back on Hashem and bowing down to idols. It says, it at the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash itself were 25 men. This is Peret Ches of Yecheskel, if you don't believe me, where it speaks about Tammuz. It says their backs were to the temple of the Lord, their faces to the east, and they were bowing low to the sun in the east. They have turned their back on Hashem. They've turned their back on the light itself. Is it any wonder that the thing which you think represents light and sacrificing children, and yeah, it probably in modern day terms, and to ourselves, our children are also our deeds, but do we sometimes not do the same ourselves in the pursuit of the things that we think are just going to allow us to be a bit like enjoy ourselves a little bit more, either literally our own children, sometimes our own deeds, which are like our children? That is what we have lost. That is the day which has turned to dark, and the sun, which could represent everything that's healing and everything that's great, turns to its opposite. And the idea here, the son says, no, I want you to recognize that Hashem is wielding the spear. Hashem is the one wielding the arrows. Hashem is the one who's controlling that son. I, the Shemesh, am just a servant whose song is intended to reveal the light of Hashem, as are we, his other sons.